Amen. 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 Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your care and love. And Lord, we just pray that you would open our eyes this morning to just see the deep truths of who you are and what you say about us. And Lord, we just thank you for this time. I pray you to anoint me. I just speak words of the Spirit, and each heart would be open to receive of the Spirit. So we give you this service this morning, and we just ask your presence and that you move among us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we'll be looking at this morning Luke chapter 7, verse 28. Says this. Luke chapter 7, verse 28. Says, I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, this whole section right here in chapter 7 is talking about John the Baptist. So Jesus is kind of giving an explanation about John the Baptist. So that this is where this is coming about. Now, as we look at this, and I'll continue to remind this because Luke is so long as we go through it, we're going through the book of Luke. And so Luke has got to be the longest book in the Bible, and the New Testament for sure, but fascinating. But we're going through the book of Luke. And what Luke is doing, he is presenting his investigation of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so it's fascinating that this is how he approached this, and this is what the Lord is showing us. Now, so here we have coming, if you will, Jesus, and he's exploding onto the scene now, all right? So from his birth up to this time, and so he is making a name for himself big time at this place in chapter 7. Now, what we have just seen before, just before this section, there's a funeral, and he goes up to it, and he touches the coffin, and the dead man is alive, all right? So that kind of makes a splash on, society. So everything about Jesus, you see Jesus coming on, Jesus changes everything. And that's what we need to understand. And this is what the people saw when he came. He was doing things no one else did, and everything is changed. The whole religious system is turned upside down. And so they're seeing this guy doing something they've never understood. And so they're trying to understand it. They're trying to understand it. So Jesus is making a big splash, if you will. Now, within this context, we have, and at this very moment, we have the person of John the Baptist. And so earlier on in the book of Luke, we've seen about John the Baptist and who he is. And so what John the Baptist did, he came in and he prophesied per scripture, per Old Testament scripture in Malachi and Isaiah, he prophesied, here is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. So the Bible prophesied about John the Baptist. John the Baptist shows up, and he prophesies about Jesus. So it's all falling into place, just like God said. Amen. Wouldn't you like to just be in life and move along just like God said, and everybody's happy? Now, but what happens here is we have Jesus doing these things, and here is John the Baptist who proclaimed the coming of Jesus, and at this very moment, John the Baptist is in prison. So he's in prison. And because he's in prison, he's wondering, maybe I'm missing something. Is this really the guy I was to proclaim? Is this really the Messiah? Because when I look at myself and my situation, I'm in prison. It's not making sense. It's not making any sense here. So what John the Baptist does from prison, now I want us to relate to John the Baptist, okay? It's like, wait a minute. God, I know you're moving. You're doing powerful things, but it's not quite working out for me the way I thought it should be. So here John the Baptist sends his disciples and says, go see Jesus and ask him, says, are you the one? Are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Or should we expect someone else? So that's the context here. So when the disciples come to Jesus, what they see when they come to Jesus, he is doing a lot of miracles. So John the Baptist's disciples see he's doing a lot of miracles. And so they ask Jesus this question. And here's Jesus' answer. And this is poignant for the church. Jesus' answer is, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. Now, what strikes me here, there's not any Bible study, okay? There's not any book to read, anything. He says, go tell John what you have seen and heard. Because they've seen Jesus do unbelievable things. So it's moved out of an intellectual understanding into the reality of experiencing and seeing who Jesus is. So they go back and tell John. John's still in prison, and John ultimately is beheaded by Herod. So John's lot in life is there, is going to end up in prison into his execution. And they go back and they say, this is what we saw. This is what Jesus did. And so John goes, he is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. So there's a context. There is a context. God is moving. John did what he was supposed to do per the whole Old Testament spoke of John. He did what he is supposed to do. He proclaimed Jesus, and Jesus came onto the scene. And in another place in the scripture, John says, he must increase, I must decrease. And so he moves out of the scene. And so here we have Jesus. So the Jesus we know, the Jesus we understand. So we see that. And that's how, I mean, the Jesus we trust in, the Jesus we believe on, that's it. He's the one that's doing the miracles. He's the one doing the powerful things that have been recorded about him. But here's something, this is where we want to focus on. He basically told his disciples to tell John, bottom line, he says, go tell John, okay, not to read a book, not to study some, go tell John, things are happening. Things are happening. The kingdom is here. Now, the word here is key. The kingdom is here. All through the Gospels, you see the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is coming. Jesus says, look, things are happening. The kingdom is here. Now, we see Jesus is changing everything. The world is different. It'll never be the same because of Christ. Now, let's turn back to this statement. Jesus, this statement in this context, is what Jesus says after he tells the disciple, John's disciples, says, you go tell John what you've seen and heard. So they leave. So what Jesus does, he makes a statement to all the people who are following him. He makes a statement about John. That's who he's talking about. He's talking about John in this whole context. So this is what he says. So let's look at it from that point of view. I tell you, okay, so John has done his work as an Old Testament prophet. You know, he's in prison. But he says, listen, folks, I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. So what has he done with John? He's exalted John at a level above everyone else except himself. So of those born of women, nobody's greater than John. Now, John is like an Old Testament prophet, okay? So if no one is greater than John, that means Isaiah the prophet's not greater than John. Daniel the prophet's not greater than John. You know, Ezekiel the prophet's not greater because no one is greater than John. So he's exalted John to an incredible level here. Remember, John's in prison now. So he says, I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. But that's not the end of the section. He goes, yet, the one who is least, the very least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So now what we see here is in the kingdom, anybody that's in the kingdom, the very least, okay? You got the least you can imagine, okay? The kid you hired to cut your grass or something. I mean, at least, okay? He's greater than John. So you have this picture, this contrast that Jesus presents, So Jesus is saying that all those, the least in the kingdom, is greater than John. Now, here's the thing we need to understand. What this means is how you get in the kingdom. What kingdom are you talking about? Well, the Bible says when we accept Christ, we're in God's kingdom. When we accept Christ, we're in God's kingdom. He's talking about those folks. Those folks who accepted Christ as their Savior are in the kingdom of God, and they're greater than all of the Old Testament prophets. They're greater than John, and they're greater than all the Old Testament prophets, those who've accepted Christ and are in the kingdom. Now, you're trying to put our arms around this, and it's like, I'm sharing this with you. Now, I don't know about you. When I look at this, I'm thinking, I don't know about that. You know, maybe Linda. I know I'm not. You know, something's not clicking here. But this is what the Bible is saying. No, the least in the kingdom is greater than all the Old Testament individuals. So what we have here, those who accept Christ, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you accept him, you believe he paid the penalty for your sins, and you are forgiven, you are moved into the kingdom of God when you accept him. Amen? How would you like to see a verse about that? Okay, well, let's look. Look at Colossians 1:13. Now, I want you to grasp this individually for yourself. Grasp this to understand what God is saying about you. This is what God thinks of you. All right. See, the biggest problem in our life is what we think about ourselves. God is trying to have us understand what he thinks about us and who we are. Now, look at this verse, Colossians 1:13. Now, he's talking to these who have accepted Christ as their Savior. God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. Okay? He's delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us, okay, moved us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now, think about this. Here I am. I'm not going to move. I'm standing right here. I don't know Jesus. I'm in the kingdom of darkness, and I function in that. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I accept him as my Savior. And God says he moves me into his kingdom. My feet have not moved on this earth. But spiritually, my whole life has changed. He transfers me into his kingdom. We're in the kingdom of God. You trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in the kingdom of God. Amen? So we are functioning in the kingdom. But this is the old earth, all right? But spiritually, we're functioning spiritually with the kingdom. We have a new authority. We have a new boss. We have a new focus. We are not, our actions are not dictated by the things of the earth, of the world, but dictated by the things of God. So we function in a different way. And we're moving, it's the kingdom of God. And there is a power in the kingdom of God that's not in the power of the kingdom of the earth. Now it works, doesn't it? The dominion, it calls it the dominion of darkness. It moves and it operates and it works. But interjected into that are believers who accept Christ, and they move in the dominion of light. And so there, God is working through them to show light into this darkness. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. See? Then he says in another place, he goes, you are the light of the world. You are the light in this dominion of darkness. Do you suppose there might be some difference, some conflict? Amen? This is helping us understand what's going on and what God has told us about us and what he's doing around us. Therefore, if you're in the kingdom by accepting Christ, you're greater than who? John the Baptist. Who is John the Baptist greater than? Everybody. So Jesus is saying, you are greater than John the Baptist and all the Old Testament prophets. You are a child of God, and I'm working through you in a powerful way that the world cannot even comprehend. So he's saying something about us. Now, y'all with me? You with me, okay? So you look at this, and this is what he's saying about us. I want you to think, I want you to personalize this. I want you to personalize it. This is for you. This is who you are. This is when God looks down at you, this is who you are. This is what he sees, all right? And so the Bible is trying to convince us about who we are. And so this is the picture here. So we're in this kingdom of God, and he's moving us and using us. Now, how about, would you like to know, maybe if we could summarize what authority and power we have in this kingdom? What authority and power in this kingdom? Now, always, the foundation is we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven. Amen? We don't want to forget that. That's the foundation. That's the message we have. You believe on the Lord Jesus, your sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit indwells you. You're born again. You're in the kingdom. Okay? So that's the fact. That's the foundation. Now, in that kingdom, that means that we have a connection with God. Like the Bible says, you boldly go before the throne of God. So he hears us. Anything we ask, he answers our requests. He said there's this connection he's making with us. But he's saying, I'm training you up to understand who you are. Parents, you've got children. I just want to kind of digress. They are yours. They are your child. All right? What you want them to do is to recognize who they are so they can mature and act like they're supposed to act. So you work with them, and you hope that they take hold and realize who they are and will go on their own and do it, right? So there's a picture. So God, we are God's children when we accept Christ. But he's saying, listen, understand and move on so you can behave like I want you to behave, so that you can behave like Christ behaved. So he's working within us. Okay, it's not like, okay, you follow this list of rules. No, that's what religion does. No, you have a relationship with Christ, and he moves within, and we move, and we act because what he's doing within us, because we have a love relationship with him. Amen? So then God says, well, then this is what you do, because that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. He has a relationship with God, as God, but as the Son of God. He has a relationship with God, and he says, do what the Father tells me, because I love the Father. And so he's motivated to do those things. All right? And he says, I only do what the Father tells me. I mean, that's so it's a connection. Now, look at Matthew 12:28, and this is just one example. There's some other great examples in Luke 11 and Luke 17, but I just want to look at this one in Matthew. So God is explaining, Jesus is explaining what? The kingdom. How do you function in the kingdom? How do these people in the kingdom act that are greater than the prophets and John the Baptist? How do they act? Matthew 12:28. Jesus says, but if it's by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons. Now think about this. Jesus cast out demons. And you think, oh, that's cool. Jesus cast out demons. But what did Jesus say about himself? He goes, if by the Spirit of God, if God is directing me and full of the Spirit and I do what God tells me, I cast out demons. So Jesus is deferring the power to the Holy Spirit. See, so he's not even taking credit. He's taking power through the Holy Spirit. Oh, by the way, when we accept Christ as our Savior, what do we receive? Holy Spirit, all right? Same thing, same connection. Now Jesus was showing us how to do it perfectly, okay? We're like little kids. We don't do it perfectly, okay? But we're working on it. We're trying to understand. We're growing in it and hearing from God, each of us individually. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, okay, in the spiritual realm, you cast out a demon, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now think about this. Jesus said, if I cast out a demon by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom has come upon you. The functioning and the action of the kingdom has come upon you because God has worked through you to do what he said. And since he works through you and you're an avenue of what God says, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And we're greater than John the Baptist and all the Old Testament prophets. This is the church. This is the church the way the church is supposed to act. And it's like when we hear God and we see that God working through us, then it's the kingdom of God moving in this world. And where we are, the kingdom is. And where God works through us is the kingdom manifested. And we're greater than John. We're greater than the Old Testament prophets. We're God's church. God is working through his people. This is how he wants us to step into life, understanding who we are. Now, just as a footnote, which is your footnotes, you know, God says, you know, you will suffer persecution in this world. Okay, just in case any of you had an idea, just happiness forever. Okay, that means there's going to be some conflict and there's going to be some persecution. But we stand up to that in the authority and power of God, not in fear. And we know that God is using us for his purpose to do what he wants to do. And so we can stand in a confidence of who we are in Jesus. Amen? Okay, and so we can have that confidence. This is where God has me. This is what God's doing. And I know that ultimately power and authority of God is going to be manifested to that. And so we stand in that with that confidence. Now, so here's the picture. And we know that Jesus is going to return one day. The Bible says that Jesus is going to return one day. And he's going to change the physical. It's clear. Any believing Christian believes that, all right? That Jesus will return, he's going to change the physical, and he's going to get rid of all evil, and he's going to change the physical consistent with the spiritual, all right? So that's going to happen. But what is here now is the spiritual. What's here now is the spirit. He's not going to come and change the spiritual. He's going to come and change the physical and get rid of the evil. But now the spiritual is here. It's, oh, I'll be glad when Jesus comes back and everything, and I'll be different. No, you won't. The spiritual is here. Now, he'll give us a glorified body, and I'm hoping, you know, I'm at Gold's Gym. I'm thinking maybe I'm flexing a little here. I'll go, no, I don't think that'll work. Okay. He said he is going to give us a spiritual body, but the whole spiritual of how we function, that doesn't change. That is consistent. You see what I'm saying? So how we function in the spiritual, hearing God and doing what he says, okay, that is consistent. But when he comes back, he's going to change the physical and get rid of all evil, and we'll have a new body. But that substance of us functioning in the spiritual is here today. What is he telling us? Right here. If by the Spirit of God I cast out demons, the Spirit, the kingdom has come upon you. You are the kingdom. Walk as if you're in the kingdom. Now, I just add this. In 1 John 5:19, I think, and it says, the whole world is under the control of the evil one. It says, we're the children of God, but the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Now, I want you to think about something. So you watch the news, you see something, and you see people. And this is, in my lifetime, this is kind of interesting. You see people attacked for being Christian. Now, we never saw that. I mean, when I was a kid, I wasn't a Christian. I thought these kind of cool people. Some of them are nice. You know, you just didn't pay attention to them. I didn't pay attention to them. All right. Other people, I didn't pay attention to. But now there's an animosity, you know. Where's that come from? The whole world is under control of the evil one, and we are the children of God. And Satan knows when we step out, we have authority. One entity that knows the authority we have is Satan. He knows the power we have. See, and so there is an animosity against believers. Have you ever heard the thing, well, you have a personal faith but don't say anything? How many of you heard that? Satan wins. Because he doesn't want you to say anything, because when you speak the word, things change. That's part of the world working again. Oh, just have it personal, don't say anything. He wins. He isolates you. He shuts you up. See, so we boldly proclaim Christ. Now, what do we proclaim? Jesus paid our penalty for our sins. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That's good news. That's good news. And we never shut our mouth about that. In fact, that's our answer to anything the world throws at us, all right? For God so loved the world. Now, so, and then that is the foundation for the Spirit of God, the power of God to work through us. So in our entire life, in our entire life, that's how we should be behaving. And it should be give us a lot of encouragement. Say you're at work, and somebody's coming in, and you're going on, things are going on. Just you being there is representing of Christ, and you speaking of Christ's love is a witness and opens an avenue for Christ to work. You're doing laundry, you know, folding diapers. Somebody calls up, you take a breath. You listen to the phone, somebody's talking, and somehow you can share the love of Christ. The kingdom is working. It just moves. See? Because that's who you are. That's what where you go every single time, wherever you are. In fact, wherever you are, and I promise you this, wherever you are is a divine appointment. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Now, so this wisdom, authority, and power can come only and be exercised by the children of God, those who trust Jesus. This is the last verse in this section on 7 in Luke, and it just fascinates me, and I put it up here, but look at Luke 7:35. And it says, wisdom is justified by all her children. How do you know? The wisdom, how do you know that there's wisdom? Because that's what the children do. And so you can see the wisdom because it's what the children, and he's talking about the children of God. Now, he's talking about John the Baptist here in Christ and how they function. But he says, well, you can see the wisdom by the actions, by how they function, by how they function. So we have this whole thought that God says, now, I've told you who you are, and this wisdom is going to be expressed by who you are, by who you are. Now, and so this comes down to the nitty-gritty. We'll get this little conviction here. But it comes down to our heart. And talking to believers. Okay, talking to believers. This comes down to our heart. And so this wisdom becomes evident because it will show through the heart who has one's heart set on the world or if one's heart is set on Christ. It's going to be evident. Okay, how is it going to be evident? By our actions. You're going to know. Where is your heart set? Wisdom is proven by her children. By her children. Listen to this verse. I think this verse is fascinating. It explains a lot. You ever talk to somebody and you just explain, your best shot. Now I don't believe anything. I don't get it. Or you tell them something, anything. I mean, not even religious. You tell them something, then they go tell somebody else, and it's not even close to what you said. You know, it's like, what are you doing? Or, you know, and so I said this. Oh, okay. And it just doesn't work, you know. And then there's somebody you can talk to and you give them just a few comments. Oh, it's like this. And they go and they got the whole thing and they explain it to somebody else. And you didn't say anything hardly to them. So how did they do that? And I spent all day with it, and this guy didn't get nothing of what I said. But this person just said a couple of sentences. They picked up and had the whole thing. Well, there's a reason here. It's their heart. It's their heart. And I mean, just fact, it's good to know sometimes. But look at this verse, Titus 1:15. It says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. I don't care what you tell. Nothing is pure. But this is what. No, not going to work. Someone else, you just like, well, what? That's great, and this is what I think. I see that. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. Now, this is helpful because it helps us understand. Now, what's going on around us? See, the pure in heart receive and act on the truth. Okay, The pure in heart receive and act on the truth. The defiled will not accept the truth, even if Jesus told them. I've thought this. You know, I wish Jesus was here and he could explain it. You know, and Jesus told us, no, I couldn't explain it either. They're not going to believe it. It's not a matter of explaining it. It's that the defiled heart will not receive it. Always just love a verse here. 1 John 3:1. Look at 1 John 3:1. This should help us and encourage us as we walk through the world and we see people don't understand. Why don't they understand? Certain people understand. And we have to understand, is God working in people's heart? Look at 1 John 3:1. The reason why the world does not know us is it did not know him. It's like, they don't know us because they didn't know him. Well, if he came and told them, they still wouldn't know it because they don't know him and don't want to know him. So you have this view here that we understand what's going on around us. Now, so people hear according to their heart, according to their hope, and according to their destiny. That applies to us, and it applies to anyone we talk to. So it helps us understand what's going on here. Love this verse, 1 John chapter 4, verse 5 through 6. And just walk through this. This is one, you know, good to have to just kind of look at the world and understand what's going on. And it goes, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. Why is everybody doing this? This is insane. Why are they doing it? Here it is. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. Don't be shocked. They are from the world, and the things of the world is what they hear, and the things, and that's what they're going to do. That's where they are. That's where they are. Then it talks about us, believers that set our hearts on Christ. We are from God. Now, how did we get from God? We are all God's children. No, those who accept Christ as their Savior and are forgiven are in the kingdom, out of the dominion of darkness and in the kingdom of his dear Son. We are from God. Now, I mean, that's kind of heady, I guess. You know, I don't know if that's how you start a conversation. I'm from God, you're not. Yeah, I don't think that's probably that I'd do that. But the thing of it is, we are from God, and we need to understand that about ourselves. So it says, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Why don't they listen? Oh, no, God. Why they won't listen for? Why they won't listen? Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever's not from God does not listen to us. See, and then it goes on to say, by this, kind of help you to understand what's going on. By this, we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error. I don't know what I get out of this conversation. You got a lot out of this conversation because you just figured out where they're coming from, where their heart is. Now, that doesn't mean not nice to them or anything, yeah, but you understand what's going on. And maybe it's for a different time, but you understand what's going on. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Christ. Ew. See? And then, so you understand, it's like, oh, man, I can't believe, and they just grasp the things of God, and they're so excited about God. Man, I must have done a good job. No. Because they were from God, had worked in their hearts. See, God had worked on their heart, and they know God, and therefore they listen to us because God did the work first. So we just carry the message and see where God's working. Amen? It just clarifies things. But we have to carry that message, we have to be able to proclaim that message always. And again, what is the message? What is the message? You better not steal, you're going to hell, you know. No, the message is God loves you. God loves the world. You believe on him, your sins are forgiven. And when they accept Christ, they'll receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will change them, and they'll probably stop stealing. You see what I'm saying? The whole thing, we have to keep what the message is for us and who we are. But we have authority in that message because we're greater than John the Baptist. We've received the Holy Spirit, and as Jesus operated out of the Holy Spirit, so his followers were operated out of the Holy Spirit. Now that we understand what's going on in the world around us, we understand the world, but we also understand who we are, But there's a responsibility. Here's a responsibility. And by the way, this is one of the reasons you read the Bible. This is one of the reasons you come to church. This is one of the reasons you go to Bible study, right? Because what we do, we grow in knowledge. We grow in knowledge. So when we grow in knowledge, that we can walk out the things of God and we confirm the reality of Christ. We start walking it out, and therefore we confirm that reality. So Christians should behave according to who we are, according to who we serve, and according to our destiny. Now look at this. Look at 2 Peter 1:10. This is really a good application here. Therefore, brothers and sisters, folks in the church, and I mean in the body of believers, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. So you understand this. This is who you are. And God's saying, do you understand? You're greater than John the Baptist. If you understand that, then you should be more diligent to confirm your calling. And then it goes on and says this, and this should be really encouraging. For if you practice, and that's a correct word, if you practice these qualities, you'll never fall. Before the Lord, you'll never fall. All hell's breaking loose, your foundation's being shaken, you know what's going to happen? No. You keep focusing and diligent and applying what you know. You're practicing all the things of God, and you won't fall. I'm going to take you through this. You won't fall. And so there it is. So be diligent about the things of God and practice the things you know, and you'll never fall. So it's important. Ladies, going to have a Bible study Tuesday. I encourage you to go. Why do you go? Because what you do, you're practicing what you know. Well, you're learning something so you can practice. And you see that. And then it affects your behavior because of what you're learning individually. Your kids, you want to raise, they want to drive the car. Say, I am not taking driver's ed. I am not doing any of that stuff. Just give me the keys. I'm 16. Let me go. You know? It's like, no. No. See, God is saying, just study to show yourself approved. All right? I'll give you the keys. I just want you to go to driver's ed. Come on. You know? But it's a relationship. And by the way, it's a relationship from God. He loves us so much, he won't give us the keys. You know, and so he's trying to teach us. He's training us up here. So anyway, so we have this picture. So anyway, here we are. I want us to understand there's no one greater than of born of women. That covers a lot of people. You know, no one born of women greater than John. But the least in the kingdom's greater than John. See, and that's us. That is us. If you've accepted Christ your Savior, that's you. That's you. So we'll close it up with this. Jesus has transformed us, given us authority and power, and the reality of all eternity, Jesus has changed everything. Satan goes, don't you talk about it. Don't you say anything. Why? Because Jesus has changed everything. He can't touch us. So he wants us to shut up. He wants us to hush. So embrace the authority and power God has given us. And then we close with this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. And two, it fits so well into this. I've been using John 3:16 for the past several weeks. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So here is a different twist on the same verse. And it says this, and we see about focuses on who we are, says God made him who had no sin, which was Jesus, God made him who had no sin to be sin. Whose sin was Jesus? He's our sin. See, he was our sin. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that, we might be the righteousness of God. Man, God said, I've done all of this for you. I took your sins. You need to be the righteousness of God. Come on and behave that way. You're the greatest in the kingdom. Come on, behave like who you are. I've done it. I've cleansed you. I've taken everything away. Look at what I've done. I just want you to love me. I love you. Love me back. And then step out in power into this crazy world. You are the light. And you strike a match in the darkness, and those that want light will come towards you. And those that live in the darkness will be repelled by you. You just got more information than you had before, folks. Just did. So we understand what we're dealing with. Well, let's just pray. Thank God. Thank God what an incredible position we are before Him. I mean, thank God about what He says about us. That's incredible. I don't know how y'all working with it, but I can't believe He said about me. You know, it's my goodness gracious. How can that be? But that's what He says. And the scripture is full of it. Full of it. That's all it talks about. Sometimes we think God wrote all this stuff in the Bible, and okay, this is all the rules we're supposed to follow. This is He wrote this so we'd know who we are, so we'd know who He is and who we are. We have a relationship for eternity. And He said, I want you to know you're living in that spiritual reality right this second. I'm going to come back. Someday I'm going to come back. I'm going to get rid of all evil. I'm going to change their... But you're living in that spiritual reality right now. Growing it. And I think it's going to have some impact into eternity. I don't know how it's going to quite work out. But I think He said, no, you're going to use this. It's going to be to your benefit even for all eternity. For all eternity. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You what You say about us. It's just beyond our imagination to know that You took our sins, that You died in our place, just so You could have a relationship with us for eternity. God, we thank You for that. We thank You that we're loved, Lord. It's just amazing that we're loved. And not only that we're loved, that You are working in our life right now to be powerful in this world right now, to reflect You in this world right now, to be successful in this world right now as we call on You. And we just thank You for that. And we know as we're diligent to understand and practice the things You've shown us, we'll never fall because You said we wouldn't. So we stand strong and we thank You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.